goes on, we tend to get a few minutes later and a few minutes later. So we'll wait, if you all don't mind, for a couple of minutes for those who may have stayed up last night doing music. And we can all hold our noses and get warmer. Late, well, then they'll just miss some really good stuff this morning. they have turned the air conditioning is turned off, but the fan will still go. So, you know, if any of you have tape recorders that you want to just set the tape recorders down here, but do come down as close as you can find a seat, because I speak out a little bit. Hazel's very soft spoken. And her singing is beautiful. It's very soft. So you may want to be just as close as you can down here. There's a song that many of you may not have heard that some people at Augusta have been learning to sing for about 2 or 3 years now. And I thought maybe we'd sing that to start off with here. And if you'll just kind of hum with me a little bit on the verses, and then we get to the chorus. Anybody that knows it, please sing with me. And as you start to learn it, sing along with me. It's called "Time Has Made a Change," and I think while you are humming or listening to that you would really listen to the words of it. It's a beautiful song. Time has made a change since my childhood day. Many of my friends have gone away. Some I never more in this life shall see. Time has made a change in me. Time has made a change in the old home place. Time has made a change in each smiling face. Childhood day, I was young and strong. I could climb the hillside all day long. I am not today what I used to be. Time has made a change in me. land somewhere. Meet the friends that wait me over there. Free from pain and care, I shall ever be. Time has made a change. Time has made a change in each smiling face, and I know my friends can plainly see. Time has made a change in me. Good singing. Yesterday, Daddy talked to you some about his growing up and his music and did some singing for you. And we have another special guest today. This is Hazel Stover. Was born near Skiles Creek in, I guess that's Nicholas County.
No.
Braxton?
No, Webster.
Webster, right on the line where those counties all meet in there, so I'm never real sure exactly what county line you're on. But that would be a little bit south and east of here in West Virginia. And she now lives in Clay County. And I've known Hazel from singing with her husband Clarence at the West Virginia State Folk Festival in Glenville that's held the third weekend of every year in June. And I always liked what she did. She plays a wonderful French harp, and I bet you didn't bring your harp with you.
I've got it.
Oh, she brought her French harp with her. Okay, good. And I found out from Dewey Balfa that in Cajun music, a lot of the rural people in Louisiana, they start out playing the harmonica or French harp, whichever you want to call it. And they play that first, and then they may get a hold of a guitar somewhere. And I don't know if it's because it's inexpensive or it's real portable, you know, or part of it's because they like the sound. And it's that same sound again, you know, in all folk music. There's some form of an accordion. There's some form of bagpipes, some form of pipes. It seems to be wherever. There are small, different sounding kind of pipes in Eastern European music. And but that sound of the harmonica, the accordion, and the bagpipes seems to be a lot in folk music around the world. And I know Dewey was real tickled to know that in the Appalachian area, too, they a lot of people play that. Play the French harp. So I'm going to let Hazel, first of all, maybe you could start out with singing Molly Bender for them.
I can try it.
Okay. Everybody, you know, this is early in the morning. And keep in mind that this really isn't a performance. We're not, that's not what this is. This is just a visit. So if you get so you can't hear at all, just, you know, move down closer, okay? Because the humming of that fan is something we can't do much about, and you need to hear the story that she's going to sing. And Hazel has a different tune and way of doing that that I think is absolutely beautiful. I'm busy trying to learn it. I don't have it yet. But
My father taught me this tune back years ago when we was a child together at home. He always sang a lot, he and my mother too. So this was a song that we always liked, and the title of it is Molly Bender. And as far as we can find out, the originality of it was back up in Diana, West Virginia, because that's where a lot of the people came from. Come, all you young heroes that handles a gun. I'll tell you of an accident that happened here late. Molly Bender was out walking when a shower came on. She went under a birch tree, the shower to shun. Young Jimmy was out hunting, being late in the dark, and shooting at Molly, his mark he missed not. Then Jimmy ran to her, and he found she was dead, and a fountain of tears in her bosom he shed. Then Jimmy ran homeward with his gun in his hand, saying, Uncle, dear Uncle, Molly Bender I've killed. It was not my intention to take her sweet life, for I always intended to make her my wife. Jimmy's father being at the window, his locks turning gray, said, Jimmy, dear Jimmy, do not run away. Your father's got the money, Jimmy's debts he will see, and the loss of our country will set Jimmy free. It was on Jimmy's trial day Molly's ghost did appear, saying, lawyers, dear lawyers, let Jimmy go free. It was not his intention to take my sweet life, for he always intended to make me his wife. Molly Bender was a lady, but she's now dead and gone, with her aprons pinned around her, she was shot for a swan.
Well, I don't know about you folks, but I think if Hazel Stover could go to the, in the Congress of the United States and sing that song, it would do more for gun control than anything that any of us could say or do. With her aprons pinned round her, she was shot for a swan. I don't know anybody that sings that prettier.
Thank you. I made one, baby.
That was really good. When we're doing this this morning, if you have a question, that you want to ask her, you know, just let me know.
Could you tell us where you learned that, Hazel?
My father taught it to me, yes. And I suppose probably his parents taught him because it's an old song.
Did your mother and father both sing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mother taught me songs and Dad did. And they always sang to us children.
How many children were in the family?
Five.
Five children?
Mm-hmm. All living except one.
Uh-huh.
My older sister.
And where are you in that line?
Middle.
You're in the middle of five.
Okay. I'm the middle one.
Okay. Wait, did all of the children take to the singing and the music, or did you do that more?
Well, I think I did more than the rest of them. My older brother, I think it's the one that really started our music because he played harmonica real good. And he got in with some people, a man that played the violin or fiddle, and a young man that played the guitar. And he would play the harmonica, and it just went from there on. Played the guitar is the one that taught me what I know about a guitar. I never did just go ahead and learn a lot, but I can accompany myself.
You play the French harp and guitar. Mm-hmm. And you also play auto harp, don't you?
No, I don't play auto harp.
I thought I'd seen you playing it.
No. Well, I learned to play the harmonica. I always thought it was funny. My brother had a whole satchel full of them, you know, but he told us not to touch them. When I had to go cow hunting, I'd slip one of them out and take it with me.
You had to go cow hunting to find the cow?
Mm-hmm. And I'd play harp. So one day I picked it up, one of his harps, and started playing. He said, "Where did you learn to play that?" I said, "Cow hunting."
I don't know. Through the week, when you meet so many of the West Virginia musicians, and you'll hear that story repeated, and my brother or my dad or my mother, whatever, said, "Now you leave that thing alone. I don't want you messing with the fiddle, or don't bother that harmonica, whatever." And so there's a lot of good psychology in that. There must be. There must be. And I know, well, with Maggie Hammonds, when they'd go over to see her, she would only do one new song each time. I think hers was to get you to come back.
Probably.
She'd do some of the old ones over again. But, you know, she'd only sing you one new song at a time.
She's gone now. She and her brother, too, aren't they?
Yes, one of her brothers died not long ago.
Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It occurred to me, I've heard you talk about, like, you learning from your dad. Now you're talking about singing together. When would you do this? You know, we have this stereotyped image of everybody used to sit on the back porch and just sing all the time. But what would bring you together? What kinds of occasions would?
When would you sing?
Formal, informal, around, you know?
Oh, there was some of us singing all the time. I think my sister and I sang washing dishes a lot.
Okay.
We harmonized together and we sang later together. But she's gone now. Of course, we can't sing now.
But you sang while you were doing kind of maybe lighter chores.
Lighter chores and things. And then evenings after the work was done, well, we would sing and play music. And friends would come in on the weekends and we'd play music or we'd go to their homes and play.
Did you ever do anything like maybe do some kind of a little program-like thing in the school or something over at the schoolhouse or some kind of community building?
Yes, we would go do that. My husband and I, after we was married, we did.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, my husband and is Clarence Stover here. We have been married 54 years last June.
All right.
And that's my daughter, too.
That's right. Now, tell me a little bit about, how much schooling did you have when you went to school?
I went 3 years to high school, then I went back and got my GED, so I got my diploma.
See, a lot of the people in this state would do that when school only went to eighth grade for a while. And I've talked to many people who went to the eighth grade 2 or 3 years waiting for the rest of the grades to get in. And some people 35 and 40 years old who would go back to the eighth grade again because now the eighth grade was a little more advanced than it used to be when they got out. And so they would go back, and it wasn't unusual to have sometimes an adult person going back and taking some more eighth grade. And they would ride horseback for long distances. Was your school very far away from where you live?
I walked 8 miles to school, to high school. 4 of the morning, 4 of the evening.
How did you walk 4 miles?
That's all. Only way we had to go anywhere was walk, because we lived back on a mountain,
mm-hmm.
place called Mount Pisgah. I don't know whether anyone's ever heard of that or not.
It's, so, and this wasn't like walking along a nice path that was level.
No, it was straight down a mountain.
Straight down. And then in after school, you had to walk back up mm-hmm. that mountain.
It was worse going back. Which was always hungry at the end of the day.
Did you get back in the dark sometimes?
Was no.
It, did you all go in the cold weather? Did you go to school in the wintertime?
Sometimes it'd be so bad I'd stay down with my grandmother. She lived in Clay.
Yeah. A lot of the people, too, I know that did that. They would have a relative or a friend or something that if the weather was real bad, they would stay down near where the school mm-hmm. was. Boy, and you know, that's really wanting an education. That's really wanting to know, I think. Wow, and we wonder, you know, teachers today are always, we have to take classes to how to motivate students. This is motivation. I tell you, this is real motivation. So you had how many children?
5.
You had 5?
Mm-hmm. 3 boys and 2 girls. One of my daughters with me here.
Now, what are your children doing now with their moms?
They're all teachers but one, and he's supervisor in Burlington Mills in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
we're proud of all that.
Yes, indeed.
4 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren.
Yeah. All right.
Could you tell us about the difference in the place music had in your family's life when you were growing up? Place music had in your family's life when you were the parents and you were raising your own kids?
Well, some of them liked it and some of them say, Mom, quit singing that old song. It makes me cry.
But did you when you had your children, did you all do, you know, did you and Clarence still sing with them?
Occasionally we would.
Uh-huh. Probably not. Well, you probably had a radio and a television, too.
Well, we didn't have television for years, but we did have a radio. And, of course, he worked in the mines, and we didn't have a lot of time to play music. He was always tired, and I was always busy with the children. And so mm-hmm. I expect it's about 30 years before we ever started singing and playing again together, for sure, you know.
Uh-huh. So... I think now your dad, though, he didn't work in the mines.
No.
Your dad was a farmer.
Well, Dad was worked in the lumber mills for a long time, and then he moved. When we moved to Clay County, he went to work in the machine shops at Dundon.
Okay.
There in Elk River Coal and Lumber Company, and he worked there for years until he retired.
Uh-huh. Was your dad home a little bit more than say Clarence was home?
Well, his was day's work. Clarence was night work most of the time.
So he would have to sleep
mm-hmm,
in the daytime?
Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
And then, of course, we did live on a little farm, and uh-huh. we had a lot of...
When you raised your children, were you on a farm? Were you living on a little...
Part-time. We lived in the coal camp until our oldest son was in his last year of high school.
You lived in the coal camp?
Mm-hmm. And then we moved to the farm.
When you were in the coal camp, was there enough space for you to have a garden?
No.
No?
No.
How did you feel about living there in the coal camp? What was that
I like? Enjoyed it because we had good neighbors and the children all grew up together. They're still friends.
Mm-hmm.
I still get cards from all the children
mm-hmm.
all over the United States.
The children that were there in the
mm-hmm.
coal camp with
mm-hmm.
yours? Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody in the country say they lived someplace, even in a coal camp, where they didn't have room for garden. But I'm picturing that again in some of the places I've seen. Just
well,
that little tiny yard, if the yard at all.
We tried one year up on the side of the mountain. My husband cleared out a place, and we just had a beautiful garden there. And one day we went back, and a cow had gone in it, and it took care of it, so we didn't try it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, since you in the coal camp, you don't own the land.
No.
Right. So if when you were putting in a garden up on the hillside, you couldn't very well fence that in or fence animals out. So it was just put it in and hope for the best.
Maybe one cow in 50-mile radius. She got their garden.
Found your garden.
Yes.
Let's go down to the Stovers for dinner, huh? Yep. Did were you able to hunt? Were you, you know, could parents or the boys hunt anywhere?
Oh, yes, they loved to hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dad loved to hunt, and my brothers, and all my boys, but one. He doesn't like to hunt. He wouldn't kill an ant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference in children.
Yeah.
Did you sing a lot at church?
Yes. My father was a minister for about 50-some years before he passed away in the Primitive Baptist Church. And also an uncle, his brother, was too. And my great-grandfather was. So it goes back.
So yesterday we heard that Jenny sang a lot of church songs.
Mm-hmm.
Would you at home have sung a mixture of old ballads like the Molly song?
Mm-hmm. We sang ballads.
Ballads more than church?
No. We sang church hymns too.
Equal?
Pretty well so.
Yeah.
We go to church. Dad put us on the front seat, and we had to sit there and help sing.
Sit there and help sing. When you were going to church, were you going? Was it some kind of an automobile that you remember, or a buggy of some kind?
No. We walked.
Uh-huh.
When Dad first started preaching, we lived on Birch River. I was 6 years old, and my grandfather built a little church there on the farm, and I can remember Dad's first sermon, and also his last, of course. But we sang all those old songs. We'd have communion, and I must tell you this one. My great-grandmother, when was having feet washing, we call it the communion meeting, and my great-grandmother was washing my grandmother's feet, her daughter's. And after she washed her feet, she took her hair down and dried her feet with her hair, and she was shouting all the time. That's something I haven't never forgotten. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. She was washing her daughter's feet.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother's.
I guess that is something the person not likely to forget.
Mm-hmm. Not ever.
Do you all still practice foot washing
in
the church?
Oh, yes.
Annually or semi-annually?
Annually. Once a year. Second Sunday in May, we have it at Pilgrim's Rest Primitive Baptist Church there in Clay.
Did you hear the name of her church? I think it's the most beautiful name. It's the Pilgrim's Rest Primitive Baptist Church where she goes in Clay County. And for those of you, I don't know, are you all hearing most of this? If you can't, do move down. Anyway, that... they still do that in May.
Mm-hmm.
And now the men, is it that the men
yes.
wash the men's
mm-hmm.
feet, the women's
mm-hmm.
wash the women's? Yeah. So, but it is a very moving ceremony.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Before the week's out, I'll sing you a foot washing hymn from the Primitive Baptist Church. I think you may see how important in the Primitive Baptist Church the music and the singing is, and how much it means to them. Would you like to hear Hazel do some of those?
Amen.
I would.
Now, we don't have any music in our church. We just sing, I guess you'd call it the vocals, is the music. The title of this one is Salem's Bright King. Salem's Bright King, Jesus by name in ancient times to Jordan came. In ancient times to Jordan came, all righteousness fulfilled. 'Twas there the ancient Baptist stood, whose name was John, the man of God. Whose name was John, the man of God, to do his master's will. The holy Jesus did demand his right to be baptized, and then his right to be baptized, and then the Baptist gave consent. On Jordan's bank they did appear, the Baptist and his master dear. The Baptist and his master dear, then down the bank they went. Down in old Jordan's rolling stream, the Baptist led the Holy Lamb. The Baptist led the Holy Lamb. On there did him baptize. Jehovah saw his darling son and was well pleased with what he'd done, and was well pleased with what he'd done, and owned him from the skies. Believing children gather round and let your joyful songs abound, and let your joyful songs abound, with cheerful hearts arise. See, here is water, here is room, a loving Savior calling, come. A loving Savior calling, come. Oh, children, be baptized. Behold his servant waiting stands with willing heart and ready. to wait upon thee, bride. While candidates are waiting there, come, let us join in solemn prayer. Come, let us join in solemn prayer. Down by the water side.
Beautiful.
Yes. Isn't that a beautiful song?
Ooh. My dear, I have waited for years to get that song, to hear her sing that. I knew it was out there. Some people had told me that she had one called Salem's Bright Cane, and I talked to her on the phone, and she said, oh, have I got a song for you to hear?
Yes. What did he sing?
It's just the difference in the way we sing, probably as much as anything. Yeah, she was singing solo for one thing. Probably if a few people were singing together, it might have a little more cadence to it. Mm-hmm. It might have
it
a little.
Would have more.
It would dum dum dum.
It'd go together more,
like
rhythm.
Yeah, it would. It's just that when you sing by yourself, you can do a little more of the dwells and maybe a little more ornamentation like a bagpipe would. Yeah, and it's your own flow of how you sing when you sing by yourself, I think. There are some hymns that seem to be, I don't know about what you think about that, but it seems like there are some hymns that seem to be more congregational hymns.
Uh-huh.
And the one that Daddy and I sang is a song that many times they'll use to gather the people together. Holy Manna, we did Holy Manna.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that, it's certain songs seem to lend themselves more to being done solo. But boy, that's a beauty. It'll take me forever to learn it.
Well, I have to have the book. I couldn't sing at all without the book.
Do you, I don't know what you all want to hear her sing. I know it's a little early for her to sing a whole lot, but because I don't know. Huh?
She's doing great.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, dear me. And her comment at the end of the song was something that's also very typical in this whole culture here. I know it's something that I found myself saying and was made aware of it. But after, when I was complimenting her on the job, she said, isn't that a beautiful song? And I think that's kind of the attitude. It's not that, I don't think you felt like you were performing yourself.
No, no,
you were just giving them the song.
That's right.
And, any of you who sing, that's a sure way to take the anxiety out of being up in front of people. Is that, you're not doing this for the audience's approval, or certainly not their approval of you. You're doing it, to get the song. To get the song out there so people can hear the beauty of the words, and you hope that maybe something you do with your voice or in the feelings that you're putting into it will bring the song alive for people who've never experienced the life that she did and the church that she grew up in.
Hmm.
I love the songs. I love them.
Yeah.
Because most all of them do have almost a sermon in them.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess we wasn't quite so busy. We both love music, my husband and I, and we did play and go to festivals and sing together until he had a stroke, and now he can play his music. So this is the first time that we've been anywhere except just to visit.
Yeah. So they were having a great time. I got her up last night in her nightgown to come down and hear Jose was playing that beautiful harp music, which, by the way, all of you, don't miss it at 1 o'clock today. If you haven't had a chance to hear him, and he's going to be in here playing the harp. And by the way, he also played a Japanese song on it. He played a German song. And when I left, he was playing backup for a Patsy Cline song. That's the only harp play I've ever seen that can jam with a harp. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
I sure did.
Yeah, and Patsy Montana's going to be here too, so we'll get to hear that's at 1 o'clock today. It's going to be really, really good. Now, your life now. You live in a little town now.
We live on a little farm.
You still out on the farm?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How many? I mean, I know Clay is not a very populated county. Do you know, is Clay about the county seat? Is that about the size of Glenville? About maybe 2,000 people? It's not that big.
No, it's not that big.
Not that big. Mm-hmm. Okay.
About
1,000 people in the county seat.
Uh-huh.
Do you all know what the population of the county is?
I don't remember.
Because I know Gilmer County, where I live, is only less than 8,000 people in the county.
It's not a big county, that's for sure. Yeah. I mean, populated.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I bring that up, because that has a lot to do with everything. You know, it has a lot to do with life there. It has a lot. We don't realize sometimes when we don't live in an area like that, how much we get to depend on stores. And I know I found myself every time I go anywhere to sing, to Washington or whatever, it takes me forever. And the reason why is because I shop along the way. It takes me 8 or 9 hours to get to Washington, just stopping everywhere to go in this store and that. Do you do that?
I would like to.
You
Clarence never liked to stop too often.
He doesn't he stop for yard sales?
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes.
It also depends on how many yard sales you pass.
That's right. Maybe the biggest ones.
The big ones, yeah. Yeah, I love to go to yard sales. See, and sometimes in West Virginia, the yard sales might not be too good, because West Virginians tend to use and then figure out a way to reuse something. You know, they recycling has been going on here forever. I mean, it's not a new thing in West Virginia. We recycle a lot.
That's for sure.
Yes.
Hand-me-downs.
Yes, definitely. And you figure out other ways to use something, mm-hmm. and rather than just throw that away or something. Of course, we do like to buy each other's stuff, too. You know?
Or just be free-hearted and give it to them.
Yeah, that's right. Trade something. Uh-huh. Yes. When your mom sings.
Which one?